Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 16th of December, 2014. Hard to believe it is almost the new year once again. And hard to believe it's been so long since we've talked to our current guest. It's been at least a year and a half or something like that by this point. Far, far too long. Of course, I'm referring to Larry Pinkney, a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, and someone whose biography is just too lengthy in terms of his activism and his struggle and his lengthy record of resistance to the status quo and the powers that be to do justice to in a little introduction like this. So I'll bring him up and let him introduce himself. Larry Pinkney, thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Well, Brother James Corbett, thank you for having me first and foremost on the program. I appreciate it deeply. I'm honored. I'm delighted. Look, let me say that right off the bat, you really already summed it up. I'm a veteran of the Black Panther Party, all right? The original, don't be confused. I'm not talking about the so-called new Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party. I'm the only so-called American, quote unquote, who successfully self-authored my case to the United Nations from prison. And, you know, I can go on and on, but that's really irrelevant. What's important here is the struggle today in the year 2014, almost 2015. I'm honored to be on your program. I'm honored to be on your show. You make such a difference, both, well, frankly, all over the world. So thank you, James, for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I think you're right. I mean, we could go over some of your many accomplishments, but I think the proof is in the pudding when it comes to things like this. So let's talk about that pudding, because I wanted to bring you on today specifically to talk about an email blast that you sent out to some of your followers recently, in which you were talking about some of the articles that you were writing going back all the way back to 2008, warning about Obama and the type of presidency he was going to be bringing in. And you noted in that email that despite having written these articles, again, going back to February, October of 2008, well before anyone was picking up on what was really happening, you noted that after these articles were published, I was viciously attacked, often covertly, by certain liberals, progressives, and so-called leftists in the U.S., as well as disinvited from conferences and or speaking engagements due to having spoken out against Obama and his Democrat and Republican systemic corporate minions. So just as an example of the type of rhetoric that we're talking about, back in October of 2008, you published something called An Obama Presidency, More of the Same, Only Worse, in which you noted, if the masses of people in this nation knew or had known the pertinent facts pertaining to the warmongering, we can fight the war better, pro-apartheid Zionist corporate Wall Street-backed slippery-tongued Barack Obama, it is doubtful they would have been so thoroughly bamboozled and hoodwinked to their own detriment and that of the world. Words that have played out and been completely verified over the past 6 years, unfortunately. So, Larry Pinkney, are you psychic? How on earth did you possibly know that this was going to turn out this way back then in 2008?
Well, James, you knew it too. Common sense. You know, the so-called left, so-called progressives, so-called liberals, you know, should have known it. And many of them, obviously, they did know it. They knew that Obama was just another systemic tool. He was a tool to continue the blood-sucking, and I mean blood-sucking, corporate, militaristic, police, surveillance, state blood-sucking of the people, not only in the United States, but really throughout the world, throughout Mother Earth. So, no, I'm not psychic, but let's just say I try to be very, very honest.
Well, obviously, I'm somewhat joking. I mean, of course, you don't have to be psychic to understand what's going to happen in an election cycle like this, where Barack Obama was so completely and utterly tied into the corporate Wall Street status quo establishment that a lot of the deluded progressives believed he was fighting against. But all you had to do was check the donations for his 2008 campaign to see that the second largest contributor to the Barack Obama 2008 campaign was Goldman Sachs. And he ended up pointing Rahm Emanuel to his chief of staff. All of these ridiculous signs that were right there in people's faces. And yet, as you note, so many progressives, so many liberals, so many people who claim to be against these types of developments completely supported him and completely bought the Kool-Aid. And I guess the question really, the million-dollar question is, how could people have been so fooled so easily? Was it just this desire that people have to believe in the hope and change that that allowed them to believe that it was really happening?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. I think for one thing, the race card, or the so-called race card, I call it the color card, because there's really only one race on this planet of Mother Earth that I know of, and it's called the human race, all right? So the color card was played very insidiously and effectively by Barack Obama and his handlers, whether it was Lockheed Corporation, Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's an endless list that won't be missed, all right? But we have to understand that they have, when I say they, I'm talking about the national and global, what I call power elite, that 1%. Or 1.5%, whatever. All right. They keep us corralled, if you will, James, on a plantation, Democrat Republican plantation, as if that's left and right. It's not. What it is simply is evil. It's a plantation of bloodsuckers, and I don't care what they call themselves. There are now people talking about, oh, we should have Elizabeth Warren. No, we should not have Elizabeth Warren. No, we should not. We don't need Democrats or Republicans. We need each other. Each other. And how long will it take the people in this country, in the United States, to understand that what it's about is divide and conquer. Play each other off against each other. Use each other. Manipulate through fear, through disinformation. I repeat, disinformation. And that way, control us. But hey, come on. We are not stupid. A lot of our people might be ignorant. And I say our people, I'm talking about black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. We might not, you know, we might be ignorant, but we're not stupid. So let's do like the Chicanos and the Chicanas say. Let's use our cabeza. Let's use our heads. All right. That's where I'm coming from. Whether they like it, when I say they, the power elite, be they black, white, well, I don't give a rat's petunia what their color is, all right? But whatever their color, because of all colors, they try to pimp us, use us, manipulate us, play us off against each other, and use misinformation and disinformation. So that's where I'm coming from, James.
And that sounds to me like the actual underlying message of the original Black Panther Party, which was about communities coming together, stop waiting for some political savior to come from the sky to come down and save us all. Talk to people about that, because I think a lot of people probably have, again, because of the misinformation that's been put out over the years and muddying of the waters, don't have a good understanding of what that original activism was really about.
The original Black Panther Party, and I want to repeat this, original, not the so-called new Black Panther Party, get real, all right? The original Black Panther Party, which was formed in October of 1966 in Oakland, California, was about a 10-point political program, a 10-point political program, what we want, what we believe, all right? And this was a program that was based upon the needs of and aspirations of everyday ordinary people. The Black Panther Party began in black communities throughout the United States, and specifically it began in Oakland, but spread throughout the United States, as I said. But we reached out to and worked with in viable, active alliances with communities of all colors, be they white, be they brown, yellow, red, communities of all colors. But of course, our message was empower yourselves. Empower yourselves. Do not depend on the government, you know, to empower you. The government is about controlling and manipulating you, not empowering you. So, of course, we became, with the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover and friends, we became the number one so-called internal threat to the United States. Why? Because we believed in the U.S. Constitution and the preamble to the Declaration of Independence of the United States. So the fact of the matter is that beyond the United States, way beyond the United States, I always talk about Mother Earth. Mother Earth is what this is about. Whether it's Japan, China, okay, Britain, France, Germany, whether anywhere on this planet, whether it's Nairobi, Kenya, or whether it's Lusaka, Zambia, in Africa, the bottom line is it's an everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people struggle. This is what it's about, and that is why the national and global elite fear us.
I couldn't agree more. This is a struggle about we, the people of the human race, against that small oligarchical elite that want to puppeteer us from the top. And that takes place in every country of the planet, all around the globe. So it is a struggle that we all share. I couldn't agree more with that. And it seems self-evident. That seems to be the message of so many of these people who claim to be on the side of the people, but who time and time again end up siding with the power establishment and getting in line whenever there's an election. And let's get into this issue. I don't think we should avoid naming names, because I think it is important to look at some of these people and the things that they've advocated. And in your email, you said, where were the Chris Hedges, Medea Benjamins, Ray McGoverns, Cornel Wests, Bill Fletchers, and Amy Goodmans, etc., back in 2008, when their voices, warnings, and or writings to emphatically sound the alarm might have really made a difference? And that really is the question. I think the proof, again, is in the pudding. And when we see people like this getting in line and supporting the Democrat establishment party candidates at key election times, that to me is a pretty big sign that these people are ultimately not on the side of we the people, but on the side of the establishment.
Of course, of course. And James, here we go again. You know, these misleaders, they're not leaders. Let's understand what they really are. They are misleaders, all right? They are people whose vested interest is maintaining the status quo. I don't care what they say. The proof of the pudding is in the taste. And we've had the taste, and it's a nasty taste. Time and time and time and time again. We need to understand, I'm going to say it again, it ain't about Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton, you know, or some Republican, all right? It's about we, everyday, ordinary people. It is time for both the Democrats and the Republicans to be relegated to the dustbin of history. That's where they need to be put, in the dustbin of history, because they are in opposition to everyday, ordinary people. These people in Congress, whether it's the U.S. Senate or the House of Representatives, these people do not represent us, okay? They represent the moneyed interests that support them. And so, as we said back in the day in the original Black Panther Party, all power to the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, all power to the people, and only the people, from the bottom up, not the top down.
Well, again, I think that's the struggle. That's what we're trying to accomplish. So I guess the question really is, I mean, I know a lot of people, I'm sure you know a lot of people, well-meaning people who fell for this hook, line, and sinker in 2008 and really did believe there was going to be some sort of hope and change. And I don't want to make fun of those people for being suckers once. I mean, we've all been suckered in our lives. But the point is, what do we do from here? Where do we go from here? And in 2016, it's very likely we're going to be looking at a Bush-Clinton election, if you can believe it. What a ridiculous state of affairs. How do we stop people from going into the same mentality that they did in 2008? We've got to get behind our candidate, or the bad guy is going to get in.
Well, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing repeatedly, over and over again, and expecting a different result, okay? That's the definition of insanity. And we have to stop being insane. Let's be honest. It is time for us to stop being insane. You know, when I was a kid, I had a hamster. And that hamster used to get in that cage, right? And I used to watch him as a little kid. And that hamster would be running on the wheel. You have the wheel in the cage, but he'd be getting nowhere. It is time for the people to, first of all, get off the wheel, what I call the Democrat and Republican plantation, and then get the hell out of the cage. All right? It is time for us to build up, not down, but up, from the bottom up. Reject both the Democrat and Republican parties. Come up with our own parties that serve the real interests of the people. And that's hard, because one thing that the Democrats and Republicans agree on is to put the kibosh on any independent, any so-called third party. I say so-called because the Democrat and Republican parties are really one party. That's why I say so-called third parties. They're really second party. But, you know, they agree, meaning the Democrats and Republicans, let's put the kibosh on them, because they represent what? A threat to our monopoly. So we have a dictatorship of the Democrats and Republicans. So let's begin there. And let's understand. A lot of people think, oh, if I go out and vote, I've thrown my vote. Yeah, I've done something. Excuse me. Voting is, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but the bottom line is as the famed French philosopher Albert Camus said, what good does it do to give a man the vote, or a woman the vote, but he or she has no say whatsoever on who's running? And we don't have any say. The corporations, the military industrial police surveillance complex are the ones. We need to just disconnect, pull out the plug. It's so easy. It's actually very simple. But the old tricks work because we keep going for the ghosts. But we don't have to keep going for the ghosts. We don't have to keep going for the ghosts. Pull out, unplug.
You know, that's such a good analogy, Larry. I'm glad you said that, because it's like this: there's this machine that we keep going back to and expecting that something's going to happen differently. If we put in a different combination of letters into the machine, something will happen. No, unplug the machine. Stop giving the machine the power. Stop worshiping the machine. It's the machine that is the problem. And there is so much that can be accomplished by us at the community level, working together with each other, that doesn't involve waiting for some political savior. So stop focusing on the big national elections as if this is going to be a solution to anything, instead of just more of the same. And I think that's really the message going forward. And really, again, if proof of the pudding is in the tasting, then we've already seen it so many times with these misleaders who have told us so many times, just get in line, just vote Democrat or vote Republican or whatever it is, and, you know, we'll get the bad guys out of there. It's ridiculous. It's stupidity. It is ramming our heads against a brick wall, so we have to avoid that. All right, Larry, so much important information here, but you also have so much important information that you're writing and that you talk about on your radio programs. Can you tell people how they can find more about yourself and your writing?
Well, thank you, James. Thank you, my brother. Please, I would implore the listeners that watch you and hear you all around the world, James, please, go to blackactivistwg.org. It stands for Black Activist Writers Guild. Blackactivistwg.org. And when you go on, click on the archives. Look over to the right side. Go down. Click on the archives. And you will see my archives from 1968 right up to December 2014. Okay? You'll see articles, interviews, etc., etc. Also, I would ask folks to please go to Intrepid Report. That's intrepidreport.com. I happen to have the honor and privilege of serving as an associate editor at intrepidreport.com, not only to read my articles, but other great articles that are written by so many critically thinking people. So I'm going to thank you for giving me this opportunity, my brother.
I thank you right back. I hope people will check out both of those websites. Of course, they're going to be linked up in the show notes for this episode at CorbettReport.com. And as well, if you do support Larry in the work that he's doing, he does need financial support as well. So you can also send in donations via the Black Activist Writers Guild, P.O. Box 581-822, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55458. Again, that'll be in the show notes for this episode as well. Larry Pinkney, thank you so much for your time, and let's struggle together. It's a big uphill battle, but the only way we're going to win it is if we engage and with all our forces.
That's right. I want to thank you, my brother. Please stay strong. Please take care of yourself. To you, my love, to your family, to all the people. I think you're in Japan. To all the people in Japan, but to all the people, frankly, throughout Mother Earth, thank you, my brother. Stay strong, and all power to the people.
This video is brought to you by the subscribers of BoilingFrogsPost.com. For more information on this and other topics, please go to BoilingFrogsPost.com. For more information and commentary from James Corbett, please go to CorbettReport.com.